super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Hey, welcome back to the Grindhouse. Got a couple things. Both Todd and myself will be at Cinema Wasteland next weekend, and we're going to try to do a live show from there. And if that fails, we're actually going to be talking to our good buddy Ted B. Michaels next week about some predicament that everybody thought he was in, but it's more internet bullshit, so we decided to give Ted the forum. For those of you who want to interact with the show, join the Three Wing Circus, wind up at the ninth level of hell. Just go to www.jackalope105fm.com and click on chat, and then you'll be in the chat room. Or you might think you're in the chat room. You might be in my room, the room I broadcast out of, the room that's chained up and padded. So make your choice as well, my friends. You never know where you're going to end up here.
You think Pinhead's hard. Man.
You just thank God for weed because that little dwarf is still kicking my colon out.
No dwarf, you know? Man. No dwarf.
But tonight we have a very special guest from the world of women's wrestling. If you guys remember a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how I'm like a longtime wrestling fan, and I sort of lost interest because the current product is so stale and stuff. And then I discovered this company called WSU, Women's Superstars Uncensored, and the promoter asked me to come down to one show and work security, and I was really impressed by what I saw, and I've been like saying hanging out and helping ever since. And a couple people asked me about, you know, how it was and who's in it and stuff like that. So I got an email from none other than Primetime Amy Lee, 17-year veteran of the sport, trained by one of the greats, Dick Murdoch. And she's here tonight to tell us about her career, what she's doing, where she's going, and who she's pissed off at. And Amy, you know, this is completely uncensored, so you can be yourself. You know, it's an open mic thing type. So go ahead.
First of all, 42nd Pete. Listen, Chuchi, evidently you did not do your research. I haven't done 17 years in professional. I've done 20 years. This past May was my 20th year in professional wrestling.
Oh, cool. Okay, so I was off 3 years. Forgive me. I'm sorry.
Okay, apology accepted, because I do like your hats that you wear.
I do drink and smoke a lot, so that kills a lot of my brain cells.
Oh, wow, you and Neidhart.
Yes.
But, no, it's funny. My big break in professional wrestling was I was at the Philadelphia Spectrum watching Hulk Hogan beat the living shit out of Greg the Hammer Valentine and an independent promoter who later on helped rebuild NWA, Dennis Anthony Cortaluzzo. Was sitting in front of me, and he was listening to my one-liners and seeing how passionate I was about it, and it was all done. Dennis says to me, hey, man, you know, you're a hot-looking chick. You know, you got big tits, and you got a nice ass on you there. Mind you, I was about 100 pounds thinner. And he goes, you know, with the blonde hair, blue eyes, fair skin, you know, Milky Way skin. He goes, I'm going to make some fucking money off you. He goes, you want to come work a wrestling show? And I'm like, what? I said, I don't know how to fucking wrestle. And he says, oh, come on, man, come on, just come over, you know, and he says, I'll call you this week, give me your number. So I was like, all right, I mean, he's sitting there with his family, he's got his three kids and his nephew and his wife there, so I was like, all right, well, you know, I guess he's all right. So I let him call me, and we went to the Blackwood Diner, and we had fucking iced teas until we couldn't fucking, iced teas were coming out of our fucking eye sockets. The guy could drink iced tea like camels drink water, and, I'm dead serious. This guy cut his fucking veins open and all came out was iced teas with little pieces of lemon seed. And he turned around and said, listen, honey. He says, wear something, you know, wear something a little conservative. And he says, here's these tickets. See if you can unload them. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. I said, I know a lot of wrestling fans. He's like, oh, fucking great, great, great. He goes, it's over here at Sterling High School and all. He goes, oh, Gino Moore. And I was like, who? And he goes, Gino Moore, you know, the big fat guy with the raggedy-ass toupee. Well, I started laughing because, you know, you have to understand somewhere I came from. We never spoke like that. My background is martial arts, so we were always respectful of people. We never spoke ill of people or anything like that. My mom and dad never tolerated that kind of bullshit in the house or anything like that. So I was always, like, I was kind of, like, quiet and a little shy. And, you know, I was like, this guy's freaking nuts, man. And he turned around and He said, yeah. He goes, yeah, you know, the fat fucking guy that wears the coach shorts at the fucking Marriott with no socks. You know, with the big fucking cankles. And I went, oh, Gene, Heavy G. And he was like, yeah. You know, he claims he gets all the honeys. He goes, he couldn't get laid in a whorehouse with a fistful of $100 bills. And he goes, ha, ha, ha. He had this big bellow laugh that would, like, ring your ears, like the fucking Hunchback of Notre Dame. And so I took the tickets. Well, I didn't know they were supposed to get money for it. He gave me the tickets. Well, I looked at him and I was like, why didn't he give me all these fucking tickets? Now, he didn't tell me to collect money. Okay, now how fucking naive I am to the business. I take the tickets and give it out to my family, my friends, my dojo brothers and sisters and all. Yeah, I'll be on the show. The day the show comes, Dennis is like, hey, Emmy Lee, did you give me all your tickets? I'm like, yeah, I unloaded every single one of them. He goes, oh, all right. He goes, I'll talk to you later about it. And then night comes, he goes, hey, come see me. You're getting paid for this. You know, I managed Boy Gone Bad against the Spider. And I started beating the hell out of the Spider. And the mom never saw me before. And she thought I was like a fucking rat groupie, I don't know, whatever, of Joe Daniels. So she came after me. So I fucking clocked his mom. I was like, lady, you're crazy. And I clocked her one and dropped her. And he goes, and Spider goes, that's my mom. And I was like, I don't give a fuck who it is. I was like, she shouldn't touch me. I was like, I will kick that old lady's ass. So, everybody popped in the locker room. They thought it was funny because I stiffed the shit out of the Spider's mom, who later on became one half of the Headbangers. He became Mosh of the Headbangers. And,
okay, yeah. What was his real name?
His real name was Glenn Ruth.
Okay, yeah, okay. He's one of the...
But he came out as a Spider. He wore black tights, black boots. He wore a black mask with a big old white spider on it, and he would come to the ring with this little fucking tarantula in a thing. Now, not a lot of people know. There are a few things I'm afraid of in life. One is an empty Jack Daniels bottle, and number two is a bad Harley that don't start, and number three are fucking spiders. I hate spiders. So he bring this to the ring. One time I kicked it like a football, and that fucking spider flew on some lady. I think she literally shit herself that time at the ringside. But so anyway, getting back to my fucking big debut, Dennis calls me in there with Larry, and Larry goes, hey, Amy, Dennis says you did real good selling these tickets here. And I was like, selling them? He fucking gave them to me to give away. And Dennis looks at me and goes, are you fucking kidding me, man? And that's how Dennis would talk. You know, he looked like fucking Alex Goon all hunched up and all. Fucking brilliant mind in wrestling, though. And he says, are you fucking kidding me, man? He goes, you're supposed to sell that shit. He goes, how many tickets did I give you? I go, all right, you gave me about 30. I mean, he goes, you fucking gave away 30 tickets? I go, yeah. He goes, well, I'm not paying you. I go, yes, you are, you fucker. I said, you didn't tell me to collect money. You just said, give these tickets out. You didn't say, here, sell these tickets. You said, give them out. Somebody comes up to you and says, here, give these out. What are you going to take it at? Hey, they're cons. Here, give them out, you know? We're just trying to pack it. What the hell did I know? That's how I got broke into the fucking business, you know? So ever since that, I was smartened up. Thank God. Because I worked for Dennis and Larry, and they actually were called WWA, World Wrestling Alliance.
Your Worldwide Wrestling Alliance or something?
No, that's Dino Sana. Dino Sana, the greatest Italian promoter of all time with Chakahama. And, they were World Wrestling Alliance, and they did nice, and Dennis's promotion company was called Excalibur, and he ran it out of his insurance office, and I wound up getting a part-time job with him. So now I'm in my like little stooge, like working in the office and filing, and he would go, here's some ice. Go give me some iced teas next door. I want a big cup of ice, and then I want all this iced tea, and I don't want it to taste like motor oil. And then get Denise Salton, which was his office manager, he goes, and get yourself something too, honey. So I was like, all right. So I'd go over there. I would get him, you know, big iced tea and all. And one time he goes, oh, you fucked it all up. And I looked at him. I said, listen, asshole. And we used to argue. We used to literally, like, fist fight at his insurance office. I would go, listen, asshole. If you don't like how I'm doing things, then you go get it yourself. I'm not fucking Alice Brady, okay? And I don't wear a blue little house bitch coat. So he just, like, would laugh at me. He was like, oh, you crack me up, Amy Lee. So then he actually taught me, like, the business aspect, like how promoting and ticket sales and all. And they, and Larry had me putting up rings, taking down rings, putting up chairs, taking down chairs, you know, all that fucking, you know, pick or do shit. Let me tell you something. I would start out at the beginning of the night, I was selling tickets. Then I would go do my math. Then I would go help. I would help set up the ring and the floors and all. Then I would go over and sell tickets. Then I was done with that, I would go get ready to do my match. Then at the end of the night, I'd get changed again for, like, the freaking 100th time and go and take down the ring and stuff like that with the rest of the people. So they never, like, really gave me, like, a free ride, so to speak. Like, I earned my keep, you know? And back then, I mean, they still do it now, you know, you had to sell tickets, you know, and stuff like that. And then I got tired of selling tickets, and I was like, listen, you know, people come to hear me insult people. I said, so I'm tired of selling tickets. So I stopped selling tickets, and they were cool about it, which I was pretty shocked. And, you know, I was putting some asses in the seats and everything because, I mean, I was different even back then. You know, I was this Jersey girl that would come out and just speak her mind. You know, like, this was the place. Like, if you wanted to tell somebody, go fuck yourself, you could say, go fuck yourself. Or if you said to somebody, you're a fat bitch, you could say, you're a fat bitch. Or if you seen a guy and say, you got a needle, what are you, needle dick the bug fucker? You could say it and get away with it. So I was like, this is awesome. This is like my perversion, man. I was turning into like a fucking meth user. You know, I was coming up with all kinds of one-liners just to say shit to people, you know?
When I first met you and you were cutting those promos, I'm like, holy shit, if I ever shoot a movie,
I'm going to tell you something. And you could say anything. Nobody ever fucking hires me for my wrestling skills. They hire me for my look as this big, fat-ass, leather-wearing bitch. My ring persona, which is about the same, and my promos, which I don't care who it is in this business, not one fucking broad can cut a promo like me. Not one of them. Not one of them. There's never been a woman that could cut a promo like me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only... let me tell you something. And I took this as a high comment. When fucking Luna Vachon walks up to you in a locker room, and she gets down on her knees and bows and says, I'm not worthy, you take that as a compliment because that girl could cut a promo. Okay? I mean, she was like, this girl, she was like, you are absolutely unbelievable. She's like, where do you think it is? I was like, I don't know. It just comes out of me. It's like I'm possessed. You know? I don't even think, like, I tell people, give me the scenario you want me to do. Boom, I run with it. And that's what I do. I hate when you got a skinny girl. Like Miss April, God bless her, she got a fucking development. First of all, look who she's banging. She's banging Jay Lethal. So you think that don't have any influence? You think that has no influence that they give her developmental? They like him. They probably want to steal him eventually from TNA. Okay?
Oh,
so we
yeah.
turn around.
Yeah.
They have Miss April. She has no boobs. She's very thin. I mean, God bless, she got a flat stomach. That's something I never had my entire life. She's a cute girl. But I hate when they stand there and they try and act all fucking sexy and put their finger in their pants and they're like, ah, look at me. I'm so cute and sexy. People don't want to see that. There are certain girls they want to see that from that is just, you know, they want to see Missy Hyatt act sexy, okay? And Missy Hyatt's sexy without even trying to act. Sonny's sexy without even trying to act. Francine's sexy without even trying to act. Gorgeous George, she's just Gorgeous George, but, I mean, she's gorgeous, you know? She don't have to do that. She just stands there like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, am I done? Can I get my money now? Bye. But, I mean, like, somebody like Miss April, you can't stand there and be like, oh, well, you know, I'm so sexy. You sound like a retard. And, you know, I don't care if it's politically correct or not. You know, you sound like an idiot. You sound like a fucking chooch. It's like, I sit there, and when I watch a girl cut a promo 9 times in a row, you know what I finally do? Excuse me. Can somebody give me a coat hanger? This is like an abortion over here, okay? I'm giving a free clinic today. It's like, you know, I got to sit there for an hour and a half and listen to this, and I cringe every time because they don't know what they're doing. You know, they got great costumes, they're good-looking girls, they wrestle phenomenal, they can't cut a promo. And you don't have to come in there like me and go, la, 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 and like Luna and curse everybody and make sailors blush and Howard Stern blush and, you know, make your parents like roll over in the grave because they're embarrassed that they gave birth to you. But, I mean, you know, they're like even Mercedes, phenomenal wrestler. No, I think in PWI she should have been like in the top 5. She is a phenomenal wrestler. She's far better than most of them girls in the top 10. And but I don't like her promos either because she's like, I am the Latin sensation. Like you know what you sound like? You sound like that, what was that? The movie with Robin Williams when he acted like the gay guy. What was it called down in Florida, Miami? What was that called? Cajock Follies or something? It was a takeoff
from Birdcage. It was the Birdcage.
Yeah, the Birdcage with that little house guy, the little Latino house guy. Let me tell you something, sweetie. I cook the soup all day. That's what Mercedes Martinez said. Let me tell you something, honey. I'm the Latin sensation. No, you know what, Mercedes? Just like your fucking actions in the ring talk, you know? Same thing with Angel Orsini. Angel Orsini. Let me tell you something. One of my greatest matches of all time is with Angel Orsini. Absolutely phenomenal girl. Phenomenal. She got more fucking...
60-minute match?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, they're absolutely phenomenal. She's a phenomenal wrestler. She changes her name, though, in fucking wrestling. I changed my fucking socks. She got more fucking names and gimmicks than, you know, I have socks, you know, and I got a fucking steady trunk full, you know. But when I wrestle as Riptide. She's a phenomenal wrestler. But she's not like, hey, yo, you know what? You don't even make... Like, fucking Razor Ramon made a belief because he worked at it, you know. Like, the character... She's like, hey, yo... You don't make it sound like you're really a thing. You sound like a chooch. You sound like an idiot. So, you know what? I always believe promos lure people. Listen, promo. Dusty Rhodes! His promos! His persona! I got him over! He took his weakness and turned him into his strengths. That's what I did. I'm fat. I'm 40. Nobody wants to see me in a thong or in fucking spandex. They want to see me come out there and be Godzilla, crush, kill, destroy, and fuck him in the ass. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know. That's like those matches. I was just watching some of the stuff tonight to refresh myself. The one, the four-way up in... was like Hiawatha, you, Luna, Roxy, and Alicia. You basically like brawled over through the building, out the back door, into the street and shit.
I had a blast because you know what? When we went back there, nobody called anything. You know, like a lot of times you see girls are calling. They call every single thing they're going to do in a match. I don't do that. I call the beginning, I call the takeover, and I call the finish. That's it. 1, 2, 3. That's it. 1, 2, and 3. You know, it's like 2 pumps and a squirt. That's how they call it. You know, it's like beep, beep. You know? That's what it is. Yeah. These girls sit there call every fucking thing, and they look like stiffer wives in the ring, some of these girls. Let me tell you something. I think WSU has far more the most underrated talent out there. They got some phenomenal girls, and all these girls now are wanting to come over. There's a girl that was trained by Manny Fernandez. Her name is Pink, okay? Angel Alvarez from Texas. She's training in Mexico right now. And she wants to come and work for WSU. She's like, I will fly myself in to have an opportunity to work for a real women's company. And I was like, you know, I'll make the connection. I said something to the Mick. I said, yo, Mickey Doo. I said, yo, bring this girl in. You know, I thank God he listens to me. I think, A, because he's afraid I'm going to skull fuck him. And two, I'm going to shit on him and steal his fucking booze, you know? So.
The whole thing works. If it works, you should believe it. I mean, I'm sitting there. I know what's going on. But, you know, like, I believe, you know, it makes a believer out of you. That's why I tell people. That's what's lacking today. Because all this stuff sucks. You're not going to see pillow fights. You're not going to see fucking divas walking around. You're going to see some ass-kicking wrestling. You're going to see some great technical wrestling. Look, at Cindy Rogers.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Nothing
yes.
better than that. You know?
I've actually done technical matches with Cindy Rogers for Delaware Championship Wrestling. We did one on the 4th of July. My big ass wore leather. Okay, that's when I started turning to the tights because it was getting 90-plus degrees, and, you know, my sizzle was leaning, you know what I'm saying? It was like a fucking pig rose my ass out there in leather. So I turned around, and I got with the cotton tights, you know, nice little lacquer, a little tone up, the little fat rolls a little bit, and I did technical with her, wrestling while he watched, and he was like, wow. I was like, yeah, I know how to wrestle. I said, do you understand, though? Nobody wants to see me come out there and do a wrist lock or scissors or anything. If I give somebody a head of scissors, they want to see me punch them in the stomach till they puke. Okay? They don't want to see me do that. So they want to see Cindy Rogers do that. For me to go out there and do that, it's not believable. For me to go out there and just beat the hell out of everybody and not care, that's believable. Same thing with Kong. Nobody wants to see her stand there and chain wrestle. They want to see her pick somebody up and throw them like a sack of potatoes. That's what it is. I mean, you know, it's the believing part. You know, we thanks to Vince McMahon, we all know wrestling's fake. We all know it's fake. You know, it's like our parent finally told us Santa Claus don't fucking exist, that they turn around and shave their pennies all year long and buy us our fucking Christmas presents. That's basically what's happened to pro wrestling. And we turn around and we go out there and we try and tell a story. Now, you know, we fulfill some little fantasies, you know, little tight asses, little cute girls out there, some good technical wrestlers, some big-ass nasty bitches like myself out there. But you got to make it believable. Now, when Kong and I, the first time Kong and I partnered up at WSU, we beat the balls off of one. We left one another black and blue because we looked at one another, and she was like, I got a reputation being nasty. I said, well, yeah, well, welcome to my fucking yard because I'm going to show you how nasty I can be. She punched me and picked up a bench and threw it at me, and I stood in front of it because the fans, the front row, would have caught it. And my 83-year-old uncle saw more NWA title changes than I fucking changed tampons in my lifetime. He's sitting there, and I'm like, this guy gets hit. Mr. Magoo is done. You know what I'm saying? Stick a fucking cross in him and throw some dirt because he's dead. So I stood in front of it, take it, you know, the thing, and I went, you stupid motherfucker. I fucking punched her dead in her stomach, and I heard her go, oof. And she punched me, and we were just beat. She yanked my hair. I fucking yanked her weed. She punched me. I punched her. I hit her in the face. She hit me. But we didn't give a shit. We just beat the balls off of one another. But that's what people wanted to say.
Second yeah, no, time I was there. I was working security. I was, like, keeping people back from the whole thing.
Oh, we threw railings at one another. Second time around, we did more of a technical match, okay? And it wasn't bad. It was good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. She enjoyed it. The third match, we said, it's balls to the walls, or should we say, it's fucking ovaries to the wall. I fucking bulldogged her in the middle of the aisle. We fucking, we dented a fan's van. I threw her head right into it. I body slammed her on some stranger's car coming down the street because he yelled at us. Oh, my God. People are eating ice cream with their kids, and they're screaming, ah, these maniacs. People are calling the cops on it. It was great. We made front-page news of Boontown. This ain't your typical girls' night out. There's me slamming Kong on a car. That's the kind of publicity you want, because you know what? Those people out there, they knew there was a wrestling show in there. They just didn't know how crazy it was, and it was crazy. As Tommy Wildfire Rich would say, it was crazy.
That was the best, right outside in front of the place. You put a dent in that.
I want to do a cage match. I want to do a goddamn cage match. I want to do a cage match with her. I want to do a cage match with her. And she wants to do a cage match. We want to do a cage match. We just want to beat one another. It's like Godzilla versus King Kong, creature double feature of 2009. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah, and so far, there's no clear-cut winner in the whole thing either, you know?
Nah, but this will settle it all. This will settle it all. But, nah, you know, I've been doing it 20 years. I was blessed. I had a lot of good people around me in the business. I had people like Dick Murdoch who took me under his wing. And, you know, I was a little rough. Like, I went down to Memphis for a while. I actually got to manage Eddie Gilbert for a little bit when he came up here for Independence, as well as down in Memphis for a short period of time. And I got to manage Dustin Reynolds and, you know, and some of those guys down there. And, Billy Dundee and all, and it was good, and I got to meet guys like Dutch Mantel, been around, and you know, you pick their brains and you talk to them, but you just don't walk up to them and say, hi, how you doing, I'm Amy Lee, I'm going to pick your brain now. You know, you got to earn their trust and respect. You got to prove that I ain't some freaking jabroni off the street, you know. So, you know,
that's the only way you're going to learn, too. That's what a lot of people don't understand today.
Exactly.
Even like in my business, I mean, I sit down with these older actors and older people and just sit there and listen to them talk, because sooner or later, you're going to absorb it, you know, through osmosis. Probably the same with you, you know.
I can sit there. Every time I saw Moolah, I sat next to her, and we just had conversations for hours. And I never asked her. I would ask her opinion and stuff, and I always loved it when I would say, oh, I remember I heard this story about you and this girl. He goes, I sent her packing to you. She said to me, when I used to say, I was like, you know what, I wish I was born at the era where you were booking the girls, because I think I would have got a more of a fair deal. She looked at me, she goes, hell, you're the first one I ever said that. And I said, why? She goes, I would book the girls, and I would do all the work and make the connections, send them to the shows. Tell them how to get there and everything. Tell them how much they were making. They had to give me a percentage and got mad they had to give me a percentage. She goes, I did all the work. All the fuck they had to do was show up. I made the connections for them. So she pretty much was like the madam of the women's wrestling, you know, brothel there. And I said to her, well, you know what? You're making connections for them, and eventually they're going to get booked on their own just by ref. She goes, exactly, but they didn't look at it this way. They were looking at it as, well, I'm trying to make money on this, and you're taking money from me. You know, they're not looking at the whole picture, looking at the pinhole. And I said, well, that's just the ignorance and the unappreciation of the business, you know. And, I mean, I had the privilege of working with Debbie Combs out in Illinois, and Sherry Martel and stuff. And, I mean, that was great for me because, you know, those ladies were established and stuff. I mean, there is one lady I would love to tag. I mean, I got to tag with Luna. I mean, that's the creme de la creme for me, you know, because she's like she's considered the toughest girl in professional wrestling of all time. And I just, you know, I love her to death. As nasty as she is in the ring, as sweet of a soul as she is outside the ring. She'll probably call me a Drano-drinking douchebag for telling people that. And
tell the story about the Killer Divas.
Oh, the Diva Killers? Well, first of all, I don't know who trained them, okay? But they had no locker room etiquette with their veteran, because there's Luna sitting there and myself. And Luna's sitting there, and I called the girls over. And they're not paying attention. And Luna says, yo, pay the fuck attention. So right there, that's one strike. So then Luna turns around, and she starts calling stuff. And they interrupted. And they started calling, not the little one, but the older one. I can't tell them. I call one diva and one killer. The bigger of the two started saying, well, I'm going to do this and this and this. And I fucking looked at her. And before Luna could say, I said, who the fuck are you to call anything? I said, you just shut up and do what Luna tells you. Then Luna tells you to shit in the middle of the ring. You just shit and say, thank you, ma'am, for the opportunity. So Luna's like, calm down, baby girl, calm down. So then she looks at the little one and she says, listen. She says, you got kick pads on. You better fucking know how to use them, because if not, I'm going to hurt you. So Luna says, yo, I don't want you kicking me in the back of my neck. She said, because you know, I had jammed my neck wrestling last week. She says, and it's still a little sore. She goes, and I don't want to blow off the booking. She says, we can wrestle. I just don't want anybody kicking me in the back of the head. We got that? That's the only thing. Well, I'll do anything with you, whatever you want to do. Just don't kick me in the back of the head. So I said, okay. And the girls were like, okay. So they don't even fucking thank her, okay, afterwards. And I'm looking, I'm like, are you kidding me? You should be like, thank you, ma'am, and, you know, and all that. So I'm like, all right, we'll let it go. We get in the ring. Luna starts wrestling with the girl. Well, they put Luna on the ropes. They stand on the back of her neck. They kick her in the side of the head. Not once, not twice, three times. Luna lets that go. Then they turn around, and they go to do a move, and they do it incorrectly. Well, Luna's like, that's it. Fucking bet is off. She grabbed that girl, twisted her hair around her head, and snap-mared her, and beat the balls off her. They went running out of the ring. Luna looked at me and goes, don't fucking let them leave. I just went, yes, ma'am, I'm pushing them. They're like, no. I'm like, get the fuck in there. So I tag Luna out. I said, let me handle it. So I turn around, and I say, all right, you know what, let's just continue with the match. Let Luna calm down, okay? So we continue with the match. They don't listen. I call a spot. They don't listen. They run in. They go to kick me. I said, you little motherfucker. I shoved her. I shoved her down. I just said, let's try it again. So we go to do the next sequel spot. So we go to do something again, okay? She calls a spot and fucks it up. The girl does. The Diva Killers do. Both of them. I said, oh, hell no. One kicks me in the eye. The other one kicks me in my bad ear. I said, oh, that's it. You guys have no control. You have no clue what you're doing. It's on like Donkey Kong. Luna and I beat them from one end of that ring to the other. Luna actually took a frying pan off one of the fans and cracked the one girl. Went right upside her head. What that girl is not grateful for is that frying pan broke. She could have sliced her across the face and left her with a permanent scar. We beat the shit out of them, and then Luna cut a promo on them and said, you just got your ass kicked by a 45-year-old grandmother. Hang your heads in shame, you fucking green beans. And she said, Mick, I'll wrestle anybody. I'll wrestle you anytime. She goes, but not this bullshit. I'm not getting fucking hurt because somebody don't know what they're doing. And Mick actually felt bad about it and was very apologetic and all. And she's like, well, you know, she says, they just were idiots that day. You know, they were very disrespectful and all. So they get out of the ring, so we go back, and Missy Samson stops us, and she says, listen, let them, they want to grab their stuff, and they want to go, just let them go. I looked at Luna, I said, why the fuck, you're the vet, why do you got to wait, because some idiot doesn't know how to work. I said, let's go. So I instigated, so we go back there, they're in the bathroom, they're hiding, they're climbing out the bathroom window, we take their bags and fucking trash them in the streets. Fuck you. They retired after that. No, they went on the internet, and they talked all this shit about us and all. You know what I told them? I said, I will see you in Ohio. Because it was 2 weeks after it happened. I said, I will see you in Ohio in 2 weeks, motherfuckers. And I guarantee you one of two things happening. You're either going home in your car or you're going home in a fucking body bag. I'm going for the body bag, bitch. Because I'm going to stuff you in my wrestling bag. Well, they were like, talk, talk, talk. I walk in that locker room. Now, Blue Meanie sees what's going on. You know, like he sees on the internet because they're like, they're posting on Glory and DOI, all this shit about me and Luna. And all. Yeah, people are big bad on the internet with their little chubby fingers talking shit. But when you get them face to face, they literally shit themselves and piss themselves because they're wimps. So we turn around. I walk in that locker room in Ohio. What they didn't know, Meanie's like laughing. What they didn't know is I brought Luna with me. We walked in that fucking locker room and we said, we got you motherfuckers tonight. You know what they did? Grabbed their bags and walked out. Yup, yup. That's how you do it. Let me tell you something. I was taught by a very rough man. Murdoch was a rough man. He didn't wrestle you. If he didn't like you or he knew you didn't know what you were doing, he mauled you. And he would put his knee on the back of your neck to control you. And he would just make you carry his weight. And he would ride you like a dog in heat. I'm serious. One time I was working out with him in the ring, and we were working on punches. And I was always taught to punch a certain way with martial arts. And you know, I did a lot of kickboxing and stuff, so I clocked him, and I went, oops, my bad. And he went, oh, yeah. Put me in a full nelson, slammed my face on the mat, and ground me from one corner to the other. I had a mat burn on the entire left side of my face. He looked at me afterwards and went, oops, my fucking bad. I was like, learn my lesson. People, who's a rough girl? I mean, she will work with you, make you look like $1 million. But they're rough individuals. They're rough for a reason because they can survive in that ring. It's totally different than when I even grew up in it. And even before I grew up in it, it was way different. And I mean, I was taught, you got a problem with a promoter, you fucking take them out in the locker room right then and there. I've been known to do that. I got blackballed for 2 years because I beat a promoter up because he tried to dick me out of a lousy $25. $25 he tried to Jew me out of. Sorry, anybody's Jewish out there and I offend them, but I fucking offend everybody. $25. He tried to screw me out of. I'm like, $25 fucking. You mean how much? You had a house of 500 and some down, 100 people, and you're going to dick me out of a lousy 20. You're an asshole. Well, you know what? Fuck you, because if I don't get my $25, I'm taking your balls. And I did. I beat him up in front of his family and the wrestler. I got blackballed for 2 years. Oh, well, I'm still here, and he's gone.
That's right.
Yeah. You were doing death matches, too, for a while, weren't you?
I did the four-corner death match. Was it Ian Rotten? IWA, Miss Hal, he did an all-girls deathmatch tournament, and I did the four corners of pain. And I've never done, I've done hardcore barbed wire tables, fluorescent balls. I've done it with Sumia Sakai. I even had Ilir Littlefeather. I gave her her first hardcore match. And to be honest with you, I took care. I didn't try to brutalize her or anything. I took all the lumps and bumps and, you know, and stuff like that. Because for certain people in wrestling that should not do things, you know, I should not be standing there chaining. Littlefeather should not be doing hardcore. See what I'm saying? It's like oil and water. It don't mix. And I worked Sexy Eddie. They gave me Sexy Eddie. And I was like, okay. And he was a doll. I had fun with him. It was a hardcore match with comedy because he was doing his one-liners. I did my one-liners. I put him in a full Nelson, bent him over the ropes. Actually, I was banging him from behind. You know, I mean, it's hysterical. The fans were entertained because, you know what? We have to do something different. Why? Because he's a guy and I'm a girl. If we went in there and we just did a hardcore match, we would have got boring. Now, we have to do something that we always...
That match. It was good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's different. You know, I mean, he took bulbs, I took bulbs. He took mouse traps, I took thumbtacks to the titties. When I left, I wasn't all cut up and everything. I came home, I had more holes on me than a goddamn fucking bowl for Swiss cheese. And my husband looked at me and he says, "You didn't." At the time, he was my boyfriend. And he looked at me and goes, "You didn't leave that way. Why the fuck did you come home that way?" I said, "It was a hardcore tournament." And when I told him what I did, he looked at me. He wasn't too keen on it, but I was like, "Hey, that's what I do." He's a former worker. He worked for Vince Senior for quite a few years. He actually was the guy that lost to there was a guy by the name of Frankie Williams. He lost every fucking match.
Oh yeah, right, yeah, Frankie.
Yeah, well, guess what? He won one match. You know who he won against? My husband, the man I'm married to today. I tell him, I want to put you in autograph signings. You're the man that lost to Frankie Williams. So a lot of the old schoolers would pop for that shit. That prick would probably make more money on promo pictures than I would. Bastard. He actually worked guy. He's a rough carry. You see him, Petey. He's a sweetheart, but he could be a rough carry. He wrestled guys like Brody, you know, and Ken Patera and Kevin Sullivan. And all. So when you have, like, all the rough asses, you know, around the area here, Vince would be like, "All right, Palmer, you're working Brody. All right, Palmer, you're working Monsieur. All right, Palmer, you're working this guy." Like, he always worked the guys because he's like me. You do what you're told. If you don't want to get hurt, stay home under your fuzzy covers and stay warm and safe. Otherwise, you know, don't step in the ring. Don't waste people's time. And he knew that. He knew he had a, you know, just like I know, just like everybody knows, you have a chance of getting hurt. You never expect it to happen, but it happened. Look at Angel Orsini. She shattered both her fucking heels doing a spot off a ladder, jumping off a ladder. She shattered both her heels working Sumia Sakai, WEW. She was in a hospital for almost a month, and then she lived with me for 2 months because she couldn't get around, and then she finally went home, and I was like, "Thank God, now me and my husband can walk around the house, you know, with his balls hanging and my tits drooping, and we can have fun again. Woohoo!" You know? I'm a pervert.
That is awesome.
Yeah, but it works, you know?
Yeah, you know, I am. You know, what you see is what you get. I don't pretend to be a size 2. I'm a fucking size 22. You know, I don't pretend to be a supermodel. I'm a super bitch. You know what I mean? So... All right, Petey, you got to do some talking because I'm just talking this whole fucking time here.
Yeah, I know. You just wore me out listening to you, damn it. Yeah, I know. There's something going on with a suspension or something with you, with WSU now or something.
Yeah, see, you know what? You guys are foobar. And anybody that don't know what that means, that means you're fucked up beyond all recognition.
Fucked up beyond recognition, yeah.
You know what? you go to a goddamn wrestling show. I'm taking the Lord's name in vain. My mother was a catechism teacher. I wait for both parents to die before I could be a super asshole bitch cunt, you know? They turn, and I have to hide from my husband forever because he can be a super prick. Anyway, they turn around and they suspend me. Now, they told me, oh, you're suspended off the next show. Okay? Now, they didn't fucking tell me I was suspended until December. These fuckers turn around. Mick calls me in, and Big Ray, Brigada Beret call me in, and they got the booking committee there. I'm like, you know, I thought I was going for death row the way they had me come in there. You know that, the group, the Bad and the Ugly, when they got do-do-do-do, wah-wah-wah?
Yep.
That's the fuck I walked into, man. I thought it was like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. I walk in there. They turn around and they say, listen, they're like, listen, Amy Lee. And they're trying to be nice. And I'm like, well, just get to the point, okay? I got shit to do and people to beat up, okay? And they're like, oh, see, that's the thing. It's your attitude. Like, you're very, you know, the fans are complaining about you. You know, like, you threatened to beat up that fan at ringside when you cut your promo last time. And I said, because he was rude. I said, I was talking and he was trying to heckle me. And I don't like that shit because, you know what? I don't care. Fans call me fat, ugly, stupid, whatever. I don't care. I'm there for your perversion. You release your anxieties out on my fat ass, whether you like me or not, whatever. I entertain you. I give you 1,000% every time. Okay? That's just me. And they turn around and they said, well, you threatened to beat him up, and he always buys front row. And he said that him and his whole buddies that buy the front row aren't coming back, and they buy DVDs, and they were afraid to go up to the girls at intermission and buy merchandise because of you. I said, you're freaking kidding me, right? I said, this is a man. I'm a woman, and he's afraid of me. They're like, well, he's a lot smaller. I said, oh, so the fat shit, right? Now we're bringing in my big ass into this conversation. So Borgata Ray goes, that's it. That's it. You're not on the next show. We're suspending you to the next show. I went, whatever. So I went out and I worked for NWA Midwest. Had a blast. Got to see Ricky Morton. It was a good time. I worked this girl, Bunny Love, beat the ball, beat the little nipples off her. It was called it a day. You know, she had boobs like M&M's. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, whatever. So then I see this thing that, you know, I come back and it's October 3rd. And I'm like, hey, baby, the bitch is back. You know, I'm all pumped up. So I emailed Mick and I said, I'm ready for October 3rd. He goes, you're still suspended. I went, what? I called him up. I said, Mick, you better freaking call me. I can't believe I'm still suspended. You told me just for Boonton. I said, how fucking dare you disrespect me? I said, I bled for this company. I bring you girls in here. I'm like your madam on this freaking brothel, and you're going to treat me like some freaking used piece of toilet paper? I'm not your fucking stooge. So he doesn't call me back. He emails me, okay? We're emailing back and forth, you know. No. People don't know it, but I'm a certified paralegal during the day. I work for a law firm. Yes, I wear glasses, hair in a bun. I'm like Clark Kent during the day and super bitch at night. And I can type 85 words a minute. So I'm like, you know, like super finger bitch, you know. I'm like cussing them out with my typing and all. And I'm like, I can't believe you fuckers are going to keep me suspended. All. I see Cindy Rogers. I said, Cindy Rogers on the injury list still. She ain't even 100% back. You're putting her against Malaya all the time. I love Cindy Rogers, but I hope Malaya kicks her ass just for principle because I'm mad she got booked and I didn't. So I was pissed off. I was PMSing too. And, you know, I'm trying to lose weight and I'm cutting out the sugars and the carbs. And, I'm like a crack whore. I'm going through withdrawal here of all my fatty foods. So I'm like twice the bitch, you know, and four times the ass kicker here. So then they turn around and they said to me, boy, we're not using you. And you're still suspended and blah, 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 and all this stuff. So then I hear they're doing something else maybe in November. So I'm like, oh, dude, I'm there. No, you're still suspended. I said, are you fucking kidding me? I said, you know what? Child molesters and rapists get less sentencing than what I got. They told me to go into the ring. Are you ready for this? But tell me what you think of this, Pete. They say to me, Amy Lee, you look like you're frustrated in life. I said, sure I am. And they said, well, we want you to go out there, and we want you to tell people how you really feel. Don't hold your feelings back. I said, now, you might not like what I have to say. This might cost me a job, which it cost me some booking. They said, no, we're not going to hold against you. So I go to talk. Now, Pete, I don't know if you saw it or not. This fucking little dweeb, I mean, he looked like the 50-year-old virgin sitting to the left of me. Then this guy sitting to the right of me is talking. Well, the guy from the right finally caught on that if he didn't shut up, I was going to break his jaw. The guy on the right, left of me, keeps going and going and going. And then he says, get out of the ring. I says, make me. You can't make me. The locker room can't make me. The promoters can't make me. Security ain't going to stop me. Who's going to stop me from talking? You? Fuck you. And I spit at him. Well, the guy went to spit back, so I spit another one at him. And I said, fuck you. Come in this ring, and I'll kill you, you motherfucker. So they're like, everybody's like, dead quiet and everything. So I spoke my piece. I'm tired of it, you know. You come over, Amy Lee, I saw you in this video, I saw you on that video, I saw you in this show, and that show, great. Stand in front of my merchandise table while all the people are walking by. It's like that guy, Paulie, and the two Lurch brothers that are real tall, and this guy that looks like John Boy, and a couple other people. They're always standing there talking, and I don't mind talking to them, because they come to all the girls' shows, and they support the girls and all. So I'm like, that's cool. But he always did that to me at W.E. Diane show. He stands there and talk the fuck to you. He said to me, can I get a picture? I'm like, sure. He goes, here, I want to get a picture with, I will say, Rain. And he hands me his camera. Now, you want to get a soda? One time I broke his camera. I said, you want a picture? Here's this. And I fucking smashed his Polaroid camera. So the promoter had to buy him a new one. I don't give a shit. I'll skull fuck him. So then they turn around and they say to me, you know, I'm telling them, you know, you think these girls really like you out here? They're only fucking stroking your egos, you dumbasses, because they want you to buy the merchandise. They want your money without having to suck your dick or fuck you for it. Well, that pissed the girls off in the locker room because they lost a lot of money on merchandise. So not only do I have what they would call in wrestling, heat with the promoter, heat with the booking committee, heat with the fans, I got heat with the workers. So all the girls are now complaining, oh, Amy Lee cost me money tonight. Amy Lee, nobody wanted to buy because she was on a rampage. Well, you know what? I'm 40 fucking years old. I spent half my life in this business. This business paid for my college education. I try and play by the rules of life. I try and be nice to people outside the ring, okay? Somebody has a cancer benefit, boom, I'm the first motherfucker there to help them out. Somebody needs something, boom, I'm right there. Somebody don't show up, boom, I work twice for them. I do what I have to do because I do it because I want to, not because I'm told to, because I want to. There's a big difference. People don't tell me what to do. I tell people what I want to do. That's a huge difference. So I turn around, and I just can't believe that they suspended me still. This is like horse shit. You know what I'm saying? This is bullshit. This is total bullshit. They suspend me for something because they tell me to speak my mind. I speak my mind, and they don't like it, and I offend people. I offend people. Well, what the fuck am I, a prima ballerina that comes out to the goddamn nutcracker and got Marishnikov on my shoulders, you know, and I'm giving him a fireman's carry? I'm like, come on now, people, are you shitting me here? I mean, what do you think, Pete?
No, you were right. You went out. You said what you had to say. I think the fan was wrong. But then again, you got the fucking, you know, it's hard to say. You're working for somebody. Yeah, okay, I do the same thing. I piss people off, too. And it's like, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But then sometimes you suffer the repercussions. I don't think it's fair. People were asking for you. They asked me at the last couple of shows what happened. I said, I don't know. Well, I was just suspended. I don't think it's right. You got every right to get pissed off.
Hey, you're goddamn right, man. You know, I go out there. I got to work with these girls that are young. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to beat them up. I'm going to kind of guard them a little bit. And I'll smack the shit out when they work my last female fat nerve. And, you know, I'm like tired of it. I bring them Mercedes Martinez. I brought them Angel Orsini. You know, I brought them Cindy Rogers. I forget all that. I bring them all the different ones. You know, Alicia, I'm going to retire. She retires, and then because, I don't know, she's bored in life, comes back, and it's like, oh, Alicia, you can do whatever you want. You can cheat. You can rape. You can rob. You can steal. You can burn the house down. But Amy Lee, you can't speak your mind. Why? Because you intimidate people. Why? Because you legitimately could fuck somebody up. Why? Because that's just you, Amy Lee. That's how you were trained. Don't blame me. Blame the veterans that trained me. That's how they were trained. Mick Murdoch was my father in the business. Luna Connor became my stepmother in the business. That's how they guided me. That's how I didn't leave Morgan as little she was, did shit like that. You call people out. You call a spade. It's black or it's white. There's no fucking gray. And that's the problem, even in real life. Everybody throw through tools. Nobody wants to call it black or white because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to offend. We got more fucking names for people these days. You know, you can't call an Irishman a Mick. I am a Mick, okay? I like to drink. I like to cuss and everything else. We're not allowed to call them Mick. They're Irish. We can't say Dago or WAP. They're Italian. Italian-Americans. We can't say, yeah, cheap heat bastard. They're Jewish. They had the Holocaust. We can't call them black. We have to call them African-American. That's what they are. No, you know what the fuck we are? We're all citizens of the United States of America. And if you don't like that, then get the fuck out and go somewhere else. That's how I feel.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, Todd. I told you you'd like her. We're on the same page. We're all
That's
on the
bullshit.
Same page. You know,
let me tell you something. I am fat. I'm freaking all that. I chose my Cheetos, Fritos, and Doritos. I was skinny once. You know what? I like being fat. Why? Because everybody, when I was thin, everybody was big. When I was, now that I'm big, everybody's thin. I don't care. You don't like my big ass thighs? Then don't book me. But don't tell me to do something and I do it and then punish me. I'm not your freaking kid. I'm not your girlfriend. I'm not your sex slave. I'm your freaking wrestler. I'm in your top. Then that would aggravate me. The ratings come out, and because I missed a couple of shows, they drop me in the ratings. They drop me in the rankings, I should say. I'm like, are you kidding me here? Are you kidding me? You put me with Taylor Nicole, okay? Taylor Nicole cost me in my tag titles, okay? It's my fault, though. Not Taylor Nicole. Yeah, not Taylor Nicole, Taylor Wilde. It's Taylor Wilde's. It's not Taylor Wilde's fault. She's on TNA. It's always Amy Lee's fault. Anything goes wrong, it's Amy Lee's fault. You know, fans are like, oh, Amy Lee caught a promo. You know, I guess I would turn blue from what she said. Well, if you don't like what I say, don't listen. But you know what? I guarantee you buy the DVDs to hear what I say. Because you know what? When most people think I have the balls, and my balls are where my tits are, to say what I think. Fuck them all. Let God sort them out. Just keep six for pallbearers. I got enough fucking fighting people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got enough fucking people that want to fucking, you know. I'm telling you, Pete, you know, it's like the first time I met you, we hit it off. You know why? Because we think alike. Because you know what? I don't give a shit. You know what? You got fat people, you got skinny people, you got good-looking people, you got ugly people. You got people that dress nice, you got people that dress like shit. Who gives a shit? Who cares? I am not there to be prom queen. I am there to be a professional wrestler. I am there to give 1,000%. I do not come out in a pink tutu and spin around to look cute and adorable. I come out there to kick ass, and I don't even want to know your name because it's not worth my effort. And that's the thing that people don't understand. See, people don't know how to deal with me. That's what I'm finding out now because, see, our society is becoming so passive, whether it's our government, whether it's in our schooling, whether it's at jobs. I mean, you got an annoying cubicle I don't know, neighbor next to you, and they're coughing and they're always loud on the phone. If you say something, you may offend them. So we have to, again, tiptoe. No, bullshit. Shut up. You're loud, okay? I'm going to say what I want to say. You know why? Because I get up every day and I fucking work. I pay taxes. I'm a good citizen. I don't rob. I don't steal. I don't cheat. Well, maybe I do cheat in a ring once in a blue moon, but, you know, in real life, I've never, I can't say I've never been arrested either. Fuck, man. I never murdered anybody. Hey, that's a good thing. I never did drugs. That's a good thing. Well, I can't say I don't drink because I fucking love my Jack. Ah, fuck it. Who cares?
I'm going to say something honestly. You're a credit to women's wrestling because it's no bullshit. You're not a diva. You don't put it in the ears. You go out there
and
put on a fucking
show. You know what a diva is? A diva is a dumb, ignorant, vicious asshole. That's what it is. A diva is a dumb, ignorant, vicious asshole. She's dumb because she don't understand wrestling. She goes out there, hey, look at me, look at me. She's ignorant because she thinks everybody likes her because she can wrestle. She can't wrestle. They like it because her ass is a size 2 instead of a fucking 22 like mine. She's vicious because they all cut one another's throats because they're starving to death because they never eat a fucking meal. And they're assholes because they are just the biggest assholes on the face of the planet because they have no respect or no clue of freaking reality of life. I put up with this bullshit with Mick and Borgata Ray for one reason only, because I do believe in what they're doing and they're promoting women's wrestling in a positive manner. Okay? All can decide, besides, no matter how fucking pissed off my fat female nerves are at them, I have to give them kudos. They promote women's wrestling properly. I mean, I worked for WEW. They did some good stuff with me. Some stuff I wasn't too crazy about, but that's the chance you take when they book you. If you don't like what they do, don't work for them no more. You know what I'm saying? That's how it goes. I mean, I actually got people because of WSU and even PW and some of the other promotions I work for. I finally, after 20 years, my fat 40-year-old ass got recognized in the top 50 women of PWI. I'm 45, but hey, you know what? They went through over 250 women, and out of the WSU, there's only 4 motherfuckers that made it. Mercedes Martinez, who's a champ, Angel Orsini, former champ, Primetime Amy Lee, and who is a former tag champ, and Annie Social, who's a champ, tag champ. So, you know what? I didn't do bad.
it's a good outfit. It puts it over in positive light, and that's what it's all about.
It does.
I guess that's what it made me believe again. That's why I hang out. You know, that's, otherwise
it's
I wouldn't
fun.
Give a shit.
It's, you know what?
I love
it's
the girls.
Good.
I love the workers. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, I go on some of the wrestling websites for all women wrestling fans. Some guys are like, oh, I want to see women show their legs more. Brother, you don't want to see my legs are like Casper the Bitchy Goose. They look like, you know what they look like? They look like faded Swiss cheese with all the goddamn cellulite. But no, I mean, in all fairness, though, they have the videos out, the merchandise, they promote it in a positive way. In all fairness, Mick's not trying to tap every one of the girls in the locker room. Borgata Ray's not trying to tap any of the girls in the locker room. It's a very respectful thing. Mick and Borgata, they're like one of the girls. You know, like I said, I carry my balls on their chest. Well, they carry their boobs in their crotch, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, all the girls have their boobs. Well, theirs just are down in their crotch. Their boobies are down in their crotch. Their boobies aren't as big. Oh, no, Borgata Ray got some big boobs. He's trying to make me feel small. But, they are. They're kind of like, they're like biatches. You know what I'm saying? But they're cool. I'm not mad at them, but I'm not mad at them. I'm like, I think I'm fucking bipolar. Who the hell knows? You know, I probably need that medicine for women. I'm probably like, what's that, post-menopause? Who the fuck knows? Who cares?
Well, we're going to wrap it up. So any last words to the fans?
Yes, I'm going to be back by December, I guarantee you, at WSU. And I'm going to come back, well, not bigger, because I am actually losing some weight. That's scary. But I'm going to come back stronger, meaner, tougher, and rougher. Because you know why? That belt, that belongs to me. You want to know why? I got the experience. I know how to fight. I've survived battles and wars. Kong's proof. I've been in cage matches with 10 other men. You know, and PW, and I was on the winning team. I pinned both SAT members at one time. No other girl's ever done it. Not even Mercedes Martinez with all her great victories. You know, she did that Iron Man thing. I would have done the 60-second man thing. I admit that, though. But let me tell you something. I survived that cage match with all those men in there. I took my lumps and bumps, and I gave them just as hard, if not four times harder. So, you know what? I deserve a title shot. I've put up with more bullshit, more discrimination, more tissy-ass crybabies. And for that fan that cried to the Mick and Ray, I beg thee to be sitting front row when I make my return. Because if you say one word to me, I'm going to skull fuck you in front of all your friends, rape you of your manhood, take your balls, and make fucking earrings out of them. Do you understand me, you piece of garbage? I never get mad. I only fucking get even.
And that'll be a DVD extra. Trust me on that one.
I got a Yahoo group that's Amy Lee Tough Chick at Yahoo.com. MySpace is Primetime Amy Lee, child friendly. Yes, I am child friendly. I give little boys cotton candy. Hey, wait, that didn't sound right. Nah, I know. WSUWrestling.com, WExtremeW.com, GloryWrestling.com. Let's see. Who else? DevastationUniversity.com, NWAMidwest.com, NWAJersey.com, NWANewYork.com. And you know what? Just do a fucking Google either on Amy Lee or a Prime Time spelled with a Y, not a fucking I, and you'll see my fat ass somewhere. You'll see some of my videos on YouTube, too, from the WEW days.
And there is a show this weekend in Union City, New Jersey, at the Ace School on 6th Street. I won't be there because I'll be at Cinema Wasteland. Amy won't be there. She's suspended, but hopefully we'll both be back at the next show. So,
I'll be at Cinemania.
Cinemania.
I'll be at Cinemania with one of the local, with Doc Diamond's Devastation Wrestling University, because I am their ladies' champion, because they are all afraid of me, and nobody ever wants to challenge me. So I'll be there signing some autographs. I hope I see that little prick that ratted on me, because maybe I'll skull fuck him in front of everybody. It's a fucking pleasure of mine, that little cock-sucking prick, two-ball bitch. And if Paulie Corbin, if you're listening, you better not stand in front of my pictures anymore and hog up all my time, because the next time I'm going to reach in that pocket and take one of two things. I'm going to take your fucking wallet with all your little bit of fucking money in there and your condom that you had since you turned 12 years old that's stale and broken, or I'm going to take your fucking balls. And from what I see in them pants that you wear, I guess I'm grabbing your wallet.
Well, that's all we got. We'll see you next week. Thanks again, Amy.
Peace.
Forty Second Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh shit. Oh, why? Come on. sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
Two, three, four.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to
die.
Come on, here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here, too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit.